I'm Farid Gio. Wally Funk has finally taken a ride into space after starting her quest 60 years ago. Flying aboard the Blue Origin as a space tourist, the inspirational and accomplished aviator completed the 10-minute flight in July 2021. 10 years ago, she used her own money to reserve a seat on Virgin Galactic's Spaceship Two, but never flew. Funk was one of 25 women who volunteered for an astronaut screening program in the early 1960s. The process, although supported by NASA, was a private experiment and never part of the official program. The women were all very experienced pilots, but they were not military test pilots, which ultimately excluded them from the astronaut program. In 2010, I talked with Wally about her experience as part of the Women in Space program, which was just one stop in a long career as an airline pilot, accident investigator, and longtime instructor.
Hundreds and hundreds in the military, hundreds in the airline industry. I've been teaching for 4 or 5 years. I'm flying every day this week, next week.
Describe how you got a spot on Spaceship Two, because as we have talked before, how it happened has been misrepresented.
It's not a ticket. It was an extraordinary thing that I did many, many years ago after doing many, many documentaries that was saved, money that was saved for me, and it made that kind of money for me to give to Virgin Galactic. So I don't make that kind of money. A month ago at Spaceport, New Mexico, I met a lot of people from overseas. They were very wealthy people. They knew nothing of flying. They just wanted to go as a kind of a lark, say, I've done it. But I'm a different type of a person. I'm doing it because I've earned it, I've worked for it, and I've lived it, and I want to see myself do it. So many people have misunderstood about how people are getting their funds to go on this trip, and that the fact that I just didn't write a check. I'm not that kind of a person. I haven't made that kind of money.
I saw a play about 15 years ago that told the story of the Mercury 13, and even though I had studied aviation extensively as a young person, especially the space program, I had never heard of this story.
In an October issue, back in about 60, 59 or 60, I read about Jerry Cobb. Jerry was a very good friend of mine. We were both from Oklahoma at that time. And I said, Jerry, I want to take the same test that you're taking right now for the Mercury guys. She said, you get a hold of Dr. Lovelace. And so I got a hold of Dr. Lovelace in Albuquerque because he was on the board of directors or whatever with NASA, weeding out all the guys that made the Mercury 7. There was over 100-some guys that took those tests at Lovelace, and 7 made it. So that's your Mercury 7. So Lovelace is thinking to himself, aha, let's see what the women can do. So they picked 25 girls out of all kinds of records that had college education. I think we had to have over 2,000 hours, first-class medical. 25 took the test. We came out with the Mercury 13. And today, half of the girls are gone, and I'm the only deal in town because I was the youngest, and they were all 10 to 15 years older than I because I went in at 21. And the reason Dr. Lovelace was so interested in me is that not only did he know of my parents, but I was born and raised at 7,000 feet of altitude in Taos, New Mexico, and had skied and was going to be an Olympic skier, had the lung power. That's what he wanted, was to see what somebody would do with lung power. So I really matched and beat a lot of the guys on a lot of those tests that were taken. He invited me to come that February of 61. Only two other people, Jerry and another person, had taken the tests. So I didn't know what I was getting into as far as what tests, what was involved, but I'll tell you, they tested every part of my body possible. I think it was 90-some different tests in 1 week. And then, of course, I went on to take phase two and phase three, as you've read, and have passed everything greatly. It was kept a dark secret. Nobody was to know what the girls had been tested on from 1961 or 60 to 1995, when Dateline aired us at the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. Nobody knew about us.
Even though your way to space is being paid for, Virgin Galactic also was interested in having you on board.
Even though it was a mutual approach, me to them, them to me, because I had approached them two or three years ago, but I was holding out going up with the Russians. But you see, nobody, four organizations that I've been with, had made a vehicle. Sir Richard is the only one that has made a vehicle, tested it, and I've seen it fly. Haven't been able to touch it yet. But when I was at the spaceport dedication last month, I saw White Knight 2 fly in carrying Spaceship 2, and I'm going to be in Spaceship 2, and I know what window I want.
The SpaceX launch today has signaled another step toward private enterprise participating in space operations. How do you think it's working out?
This is what the government wants. We could still keep flying our vehicles, and there were other vehicles on the drawing board that would be very similar to what the Apollo vehicle that was to take our astronauts to ISS and back that got squashed about 4 months ago. And we're all a little upset about that. The NASA people are upset about it, but you won't get anybody to talk about it. I think it'll turn around and they will see that, yes, this is fine, that the X has gone up and can come back down. Now, the Russians are already doing this without any people on board. They have their own missile situation where they can take up gear. But we've got to be able to get people back and forth. This is where we're missing out. America still needs to keep people going up in a vehicle. We don't need to be paying $250,000 a seat for our Americans to go to Russia for a year and study and learn the language and be suited out to go up in Soyuz.
And you yourself have taken that training over in Russia to fly in the Soyuz capsule. What was that like?
Yes, I was there. I've gone through the cosmonaut training. Absolutely. Had my suit and everything. They were very, very, very good with teaching me. Their equipment is excellent. They're kind of hard on their people. If you can dock Soyuz manually to ISS, you get extra paycheck. If you have to do it by autopilot, you don't get that extra paycheck. So there's a little bit of incentive that's still going around to the cosmonauts. They treated me excellent. I'd go back in a heartbeat because I really loved everything I learned.
You're listening to EAA Radio.